On this episode of The Edge, our producers, Lyric Copeland and Sarah Flugel, join Clear Edge Marketing CEO and founder, Leslie Vickery, to reflect on the amazing women we've had on the show this year, the stories that impacted us, and the lessons we learned along the way. We hope you enjoy this special year-end episode.
Hi, everyone. I'm Leslie Vickery, CEO and founder of Clear Edge Marketing, and I'd love to welcome you to the Edge podcast. Today is a special episode because it's our last episode of 2021, and I've brought on my two producers, Lyric Copeland and Sarah Flugel, as today's guests. We wanted to take some time to reflect on the amazing women we've had on the show this year, the stories that impacted us, and the lessons we've learned along the way. Welcome to the show, Lyric and Sarah.
Thanks for having us, Leslie.
Yeah, thanks for the invitation. It's always fun to be on the other side of the mic.
I know, we always have you behind the scenes, but I'm really happy to bring you forward on this podcast. All right, so ladies, we had 13 guests on The Edge throughout this year. Each one brought something unique and personal to the table. And I think it's safe to say left us with something to think about. We started off the year with DeLibra Wesley and talked about everything from her unwavering authenticity and leadership to an honest VIP look into her DE&I journey with her company at the time. What really struck me, though, was this beautiful thought DeLibra shared.
It's the middle where you're maybe a frontline leader, just starting your career in leadership, and you hear, well, man, there's not a lot of minorities or women on the leadership team. So every time we have an opening, we're going to fill it with one of them. This is going to mean less opportunity for me. So the conversations that I've been having with the middle is we're focusing on a lot of training about why it's important, why we have to do this. And also the discussion is not to take away something from you, but how do we add more? As we grow, can we add another seat here? Add so that people aren't so focused on this is going to hurt me.
I actually remember this moment well and thinking to myself, wow, what a simple idea, right? Adding to the table, adding to the growth opportunities for everyone as a way to make room for diversity, and how it could easily extinguish this middle management concern of being overlooked for the roles they work hard for and believe they deserve.
I totally agree with you, Lyric. And even though it is a simple idea, that execution takes a lot of work. If you want to be an advocate for change, you have to be willing to have tough conversations and challenge the status quo. But I think it's very rare that someone who stands up for someone else or even stands up for themselves ends up regretting it. Actually, speaking of that, I learned so much from Christy Willis's podcast on how important it is to advocate for yourself, even when it's difficult. Do you remember this story? We're going to play it back.
I have to say it was a pivotal moment in my career. No question to that. I was an RVP. I had an opportunity to be an SVP. I interviewed, and then I was devastated when the CEO and the president said, well, Christy, you're not going to get the role this time. And we felt like you needed to move to Texas. And we felt like, you know, you need a little bit more time under your belt. And they gave me a lot of things I needed to work on. And I happened to be on a business trip and I couldn't sleep. I was really disappointed I didn't get the opportunity. And I was flipping through the TV channels and there was this motivational speaker. I swear it's like a movie, but it's the truth. There was this motivational speaker and he said, don't sit around and wait for things to come to you. If you want something, go after it and don't take no for an answer. And it was like this jolt of electricity hit me and I flew out of bed and I sat down and I wrote this long email. I said, I respect your decision. I disagree with it. And here's why. And I wrote them an email overcoming the objections that they had for the role. And I requested time to talk further about how I would do an effective job in the role. I didn't hear anything for 3 days, Leslie. It was, I was like freaking out a little bit. And then all of a sudden they set up a meeting. And I remember what they said. They said, Christy, if you can sell yourself like that, who are we to stand in your way? The job is yours.
Chills.
Right? I get goosebumps every time I listen to her story. It totally redefined for me the balance of working really hard for the things that you want and where you're headed, but also knowing when it is time to advocate for yourself and ask respectfully for the things that you want. Actually, Leslie always reminds us of that too. She's the one always saying you have to be your number one cheerleader.
She does. She does. It's always helpful to hear it too. But on the flip side of that lesson, while sometimes you know you've got something special and you just need to advocate for yourself, Other times you might not feel ready for the responsibility that someone is giving you, and you have to trust the potential they see in you. Personally, as a young professional, Jordan McGuire's episode was a game changer for me regarding this, because it was the moment that I realized that it's actually okay to be a little bit uncomfortable at work. And by that, I mean in terms of what you think you're capable of, and that being uncomfortable is actually a clear opportunity not only to learn and grow, but to empower yourself to do things that truly push your limits. Sometimes it just takes the right boss, peer, or role to push us to own that. And I think accepting that has helped me be more confident in a growth mindset.
Yeah, it's an interesting question, because, you know, lots of times when someone has been at one place their entire career, it can be an indicator of complacency. And that's kind of actually the opposite of why I've stuck with Medix, because it refuses to let me be complacent, obviously. So Andrew told me probably around my fifth year at Medix, and he loves analogies. You probably know this, Leslie, but he told me that I better get comfortable in shoes that don't fit, because he was always going to test my limits and put me in shoes that were too big for my feet. And he said that his commitment to me as my boss was that anytime he thought I was growing into my shoes to be prepared, that he was probably planning some sort of expansion or had something up his sleeve. So, you know, in some ways that can be exhausting. So there were times that I felt like, dang it, I was just really getting good at my job. But that notion of getting comfortable with being uncomfortable has been an absolute game changer in understanding what I'm capable of doing and pushing my limits. And it's a huge part of why I keep investing my time in Medix.
So you both know I've worked with Jordan for quite a few years, and it really started out actually as a relationship when her boss, the founder and CEO of the company, Andrew Lamoris, had suggested we meet and get together. And we would get together over lunch and spend some time together. And I really enjoyed it because I got to know her. It was an opportunity to kind of mentor her throughout her career and really give her some advice. But what I realized, which was really fun, is that the peer-to-peer mentorship really came into play with Jordan as well, especially as she continued to grow and she was taking on more and more responsibilities. She became president of one of their divisions, and it's just been really fun to watch her grow. But what we actually realized was that we both needed help on something and could be what we called each other's accountability partner, which is something I picked up in reading the book, How Women Rise. I know we talk about that book all the time, thanks to a former podcast guest, Teresa Carroll, for sharing it with us. But what Jordan and I found was that we both needed more balance. Okay, no surprise there. I think a lot of us need balance, but in a sense that we would actually find ourselves reaching out at around, it could be 11 at night, midnight, where it would hit us to say, oh, we need to get that next meeting on the books. And obviously virtually for the last couple of years. And what would happen is that immediately the other would respond. So whether it was Jordan reaching out to me or me reaching out to Jordan, it was super late at night when we both should have probably been catching up on some sleep. We were working, and we decided that we would be each other's accountability partners and find ways that we could really help each other find a little bit more balance in our lives, which has been really fun to work together on.
We definitely all need a little bit more balance, don't we?
Yes. In fact, if there was one piece of advice that I could share again from this year of episodes, it would be the importance of teaching women and mentees the business. And what I mean by that is P&L, leadership lessons. And this is from Tammy Browning's episode, one of my favorites of the year. Let's go ahead and roll this clip.
I believe P&L management was a differentiator for me. Understanding scheduling, leading people, inventory management, and just really, frankly, good old-fashioned grit was truly the key to my success in the staffing industry. And when I joined this industry, I took almost every one of those skills and it applied it daily into what I do every day today, even in a leadership role that I play now.
So the interesting thing here, Lyric and Sarah, is that you and I know, I talk all the time about the gap in the staffing industry between women in entry-level roles, where it's around 50-50 men and women. And then as we get into the C-suite, it becomes closer to 23%, I believe it is, of women in the C-suite and only 4% women of color. So there's a massive gap that happens in between the, you know, entry level and C-suite. And one of Tammy's philosophies, which I hear more and more, and I've been focused a lot on ways within the succession planning process we can make a difference is making sure women learn more about how to run the company. So even if you're in an HR role or you're in marketing, it's important to understand the impact of the business from a financial lens. Doesn't mean you need to run out and get an MBA and become a financial wizard, but you do need to know how to run a company, especially if you aspire to be in the C-suite and really consider other roles in P&L management so you can understand that better. And I love that she's personally taking that on within her company to launch these programs and really help with that gap. And I hope to see more and more people do it, but it is something that's come up quite a bit often as of late. It's a great way we can focus on bridging that gap for sure.
Yeah, I love that piece of Tammy's episode as well. Just hearing what she's doing to take action to kind of fill that gap and make sure that women have the opportunities that they deserve and have the skill sets that they need to be successful in those roles. And speaking of tangible advice, actually, holy cow, how could we forget? There is one episode that was absolutely full of tangible advice. Sarah, I know you know exactly who I'm talking about.
Of course I do. That person would be Hannah Pryor, who was a coach that we had on the show. I think all of us walked away from, you know, a year full of listening to incredible stories and lessons and achievements. And then we had Hannah on towards the end of the year, and she gave us amazing bits of wisdom and advice on how to frame those successes and how to claim it and how fear is just a mask for desire and success is on the other side of comfort. I mean, I could go on and on. I wish we could have talked to her for days, but the moment that stuck with me for the rest of that week was this question.
Another question that I was asked in that training that I use all the time, and it is, in my opinion, one of the best and frankly rudest questions that I've ever been asked, which was, how are you complicit in creating the conditions in your life that you say you don't want? And when I was asked that, I had this reaction of, how dare you? Right. And also, you're right. How am I complicit in creating the conditions in my life that I say I don't want? And when you're forced to answer that question honestly with yourself, you'd be amazed at the transformation and how it helps drive your decisions.
Now, my parents used to say to me growing up a lot, get out of your own way, which I think is just a rougher version of saying what Hannah just said. But it's a similar idea that a lot of times we ourselves are creating conditions that we claim are holding us back, and we're doing it to ourselves. We just have to learn how to not be complicit in creating those things, especially if there's things we're saying we don't want.
Exactly. Yeah, there are so many immediate takeaways in this one. And perfect example, her advice on anxious reappraisal for me. I actually enacted this immediately when I was hosting the podcast because I was so nervous being a first-time host with such a rock star, and it helped immediately. I changed my energy, and she's going to explain it here.
It's a psychology term, but I'll explain it. It's called anxious reappraisal, which is instead of saying, I'm nervous about giving this speech or I'm nervous about presenting today, you reframe it as, you know, I'm excited about giving this presentation today. And this actually, people kind of poo-poo this one. It works really well because nervousness and excitement are actually extremely similar. Both of them are high arousal emotions. One of them is negative and one of them is positive. But being calm is actually a low arousal emotion. And it's actually really hard to move from high to low. So it's easier to reappraise and turn what feels like a threat into an opportunity. So it's actually easier to go from nervous to excited than it is to go from nervous to calm.
I'm with you both. So much of what Hannah talked about stood out to me. And I was taking notes throughout the entire podcast with different tips and ideas that she had. And one that stood out to me was around the question on mentorship. And she had talked about Casey Jacox, who we all know, and he runs his own coaching business. And we've actually worked with Casey as well. But he told her kind of two questions. And this was a conversation she had with the mentor that was pivotal in her career life. And then how did she take action? But the two questions were, what is the cost of doing it? And how are you complicit? So back to your complicit point, but those two pieces of advice really stood out to me and are something that you can take into any situation to really just really check yourself and ask, what is the cost of doing it? It could be saying yes to too many things. It could be starting something new, whatever it may be. You really need to take into consideration what the impact of that's going to be. And then how are you being complicit? Love those two questions. So thank you, Henna. And thank you, Casey. All right, you two, we are going to turn the tables on you. So for regular listeners, you know, we normally end the podcast with a rapid fire. And I'm going to ask you all a quick set of questions. Are you ready?
So ready.
Okay. So this is going to be a lot of fun. Industry person you'd want to have coffee with.
So I believe Sarah and I have the same person. So let's say it on the count of three, Sarah. One, two, three. Lauren Jones.
Lauren Jones.
I'm not surprised.
We would want coffee and dinner and breakfast the next day with Lauren Jones.
Yes. She's such a firecracker. I've told that to her face and she just gives and gives and gives and the energy, it's never ending.
It is incredible. I'm fortunate. I meet with her. We have a standing call every Tuesday morning and just, you're right, that energy, being there for each other. Again, going back to accountability partners, which is a big piece of why we meet, is she's truly incredible. So I'm happy to hear that that is the person on your list. Okay, piece of advice from this year that you're working on yourself.
I'd say I'm working on leaning into more of my authentic self at work, which is something that Jeanette Harvey mentioned created a lot of success for her and her team, you know, being the difference and being true to yourself, and how that creates an environment where others are able to do the same and creates success for your business.
That's a great one, Lyric. I also am doing that, but I think my piece that I've been working on is that I used to think about my future from the perspective of passion and what I wanted to do for myself. But Henna actually changed that for me. She challenged people to think about what their contribution is. And when you're thinking about your career path as an up-and-comer, it really shapes the decisions that you make and the preparation that you can set yourself on your own journey, thinking about other people and what you have to give the world.
That's a good one, Sarah.
Leslie, do you have anything that you've been working on? We're curious.
You all know me well through these podcasts and obviously working together and so forth. So best pieces of advice that really stood out to me was Sunny Ackerman. And Sunny, as you may recall, she is now the president of S3 for the Americas, but Sunny took a break in her career. I remember her talking about when she was coming back and interviewing and looking for different roles and thinking that there was a gap and how do you position it and so on and so forth. And it was actually her husband who gave her the advice saying, no, you bring that experience to the table. Nothing's changed. You haven't change the experience that you had in your past. You have so much to give and to offer. Don't hold yourself back. Don't sell yourself short. You really need to go for it. So it was a good reminder, especially as women drop out of the workforce right now. When they come back, they should really remember what they bring to the table and their value, and that having gaps are okay. So I really loved that about Sunny's story.
That's such a great point, Leslie. I really loved Sunny's story too. She's also not the only guest who talked about support from their family. I mean, I know I'm getting off track of the rapid fire a little bit, but how could we not mention Melissa's support system?
Okay, when I think of superwomen in our industry, I really think of Melissa Bidington. If you recall, she commutes every single week between Salt Lake City and Phoenix while helping raise seven kids. So one, what I love about it is her current company, Supplemental Healthcare, is really open to her being able to find that flexibility that works best for her family, which is truly incredible. And two, just the fact that she can have that opportunity and help raise her family. And I know just in talking to her, what a tremendous support system she has surrounding her to make that happen. But it's something we need to continue to remind women. You can have a family and you can be a successful C-suite executive. And Melissa and so many others on our podcast just continue to prove that and show that time and time again.
It's truly amazing what women are able to accomplish when their support systems are rock solid and build up around them. Do you ever hear back from guests after they're on the show?
I remember getting an email from Marisa Kasari where she told me that her 12-year-old daughter was listening to the podcast and took a lot away from it. And it just really struck me that our podcast is for all ages, but also the reminder about rising up the next generation and making sure that we really focus on the next generation because they're really going to be there to make change. And I love just hearing about how proud the children are of their moms and seeing them in these really power positions and roles and going back to a saying, you know, I love, if you see it, you can be it.
Yes, we love that phrase around here. It's so motivational. All right. Thanks for letting me take us off track for a minute, Leslie, but let's get back to our rapid fire questions.
Oh my goodness. So what makes you excited for next year's podcast?
Ooh, well, we don't want to give too much away, but we are bringing on some really phenomenal new guests.
Yes. We're also creating opportunities for more community engagement where you, our audience, will be able to interact with guests. So look out for that. We are excited to hear questions, thoughts, and greatest takeaways from you all.
Excellent. I can't wait for next year as well. I know you all have been working on some really creative and fun ideas. It's going to be incredible. So watch out, listeners, for some exciting news and changes. All right. Favorite resource mentioned this year? It could be a book, a podcast, speaker to listen to, follow, whatever really stood out to you.
During Jordan McGuire's episode, she mentioned a book that she's reading called Positive Intelligence. And the book teaches you how to achieve your full potential for both professional success and personal fulfillment. I'd really suggest this for anyone who is their biggest blocker at work, like me.
Yeah, mine's also a book. Leslie, you already mentioned it. And I think we have talked about it. Like you said, every episode, it's a book called How Women Rise that Teresa Carroll introduced to us. I'm lucky enough to have her as my mentor and somebody who, quote unquote, assigned me the book as homework. So I've been working through that book this whole year, and being an up-and-comer, reading about people's stories, hearing how they overcame them, and then being able to recognize them in myself. Let me tell you, it's a test every day, every week, but I have been able to grow so much from reading that book.
It's definitely one of my favorites. And I have to say, Teresa is one of my favorites. And a big reason for that is her introducing you to me. So thank you, Teresa, for that introduction. I will forever be grateful. All right. What is your favorite holiday tradition?
Ooh, a fun one. Christmas Eve is always spent in the kitchen with my multi-generational family. They all work as my sous chefs because my family cannot cook. They're really bad and I'm the only cook in the family. So they're all helping me. But then after we're done, we all open one present on Christmas Eve and they are matching pajamas. Yes, we are that family and we wear them on Christmas morning.
Can't wait to see pictures.
Oh no. Yes, I definitely need pictures of that.
Oh no.
My favorite tradition is that my parents, since my younger brother and I were born, they get us an ornament every year that somehow represents either who we were or something we accomplished that year or something we loved. So we have a tree now just dedicated to the yearly ornaments. It's full of piano keyboards and ballet slippers and footballs and graduation caps. And there's even like a car from when I turned 16. So it's super special. And it's something that I can't wait to pass on to my future kids someday.
Oh my goodness. I love that idea. I think, you know, this is the first year we actually got Grayson his first Christmas tree. We happened to find Christmas tree tops at the tree lot and he thought it was so cool. So we brought it home and put it in his room. And immediately my family heard about it and each sent a Christmas ornament. I love the idea of making it really personal for him each year, like your parents did, Sarah. So thank you. That will definitely fall into our annual tradition now. And it makes it special too, when thinking about Grayson carrying on tradition with his kids, but bringing those ornaments into his family as well. That's really cool.
Yes.
Thank you both for sharing that. All right. Listen, I would be remiss if I didn't mention something super important, and that's our male allies. We know we need to make progress in the C-suite and board level, and quite frankly, across the board as it relates to equality, and men are a key part of that equation. So a quick shout out to the men who have referred more women to our podcast than anyone and who we consider some of our favorite male allies. They always have our back, have personally risen women up inside and outside of their teams and their companies, and simply know we all need to do better and are leading by example. And that would be Eric Gregg with Clearly Rated, Jeff Bowling with Curative, and Brian Hoffmeyer with Beeline. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, Sarah and Lyric, that is a wrap for 2021. I can't wait for 2022. We have a lot of incredible guests lined up. Sarah, I'm kind of going to give a couple away here. I know you were teasing it out before, but we have Sarah Piker on tap with Orion Talent, Jocelyn Lincoln with Kelly, Michelle Sims with UPRO, Carrie Circa with AMN Healthcare, and many, many more. We would not be able to produce this podcast without the two of you. So if you could see me right now, I'm doing a massive like bow, hand clapping, salute, whatever to you. You too. Just so appreciate everything you do for me and this podcast. And I just love having you as a part of this. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you to all of our listeners. We hope you continue to tune in and just appreciate your listenership. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us, Leslie. It's a blast working on this podcast and we love meeting all of these guests. What a great opportunity week after week. And we love all the listeners getting feedback. We hope that you not only tune in next year, but tell your friend about the podcast. Give it to somebody else. Give it to a woman in your life who would love listening to it.
Yes, yes. These stories are powerful. That's why we love working on it so much and why we're looking forward to another year ahead. So thanks so much for having us, Leslie, and happy listening, everyone else.
Of course. Thank you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thanks for listening to The Edge. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and subscribe to it in iTunes. Feel free to email Leslie at lvickery@clearedgemarketing.com and let us know if you have questions, would like to be a guest or suggest a potential guest, or share topics you'd like to see in the future.